तस्यैवं वदत सापम् श्रुत्वा द्विजाकुलाय वै भृगु प्रत्याशजापम् भृगु प्रत्याशजापम् ब्रह्मदण्डं दुरत्ययम् ब्रह्मदण्डं दुरत्ययम् वट् वर्ड् मीनिङ्ग् तस्य इस् नन्दीश्वरास् एवं दस् वदता वर्ड्स् शापं द कर्स् श्रुत्वा हियरिङ्ग् द्विजकुलाय अण्टु द ब्राह्मणास् वै इन्डीड् भृगु भृगु प्रत्यसृजात् मेड् शापम् अकर्स् ब्रह्मदण्डम् द पनिश्मेण्ट् आफ् अ ब्राह्मण दुरत्यायाम् इन्सर्मण्टबल् ट्रान्स्लेशन् अण्ड् पर्पट् बै डिवैन् ग्रेस् ए सी भक्तिवेदन्त स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय. Translation. When all the hereditary Brahmanas were thus cursed by Nandishwara, the sage Bhrigu, as a reaction, condemned the followers of Lord Shiva with this very strong Brahmanical curse. Purport. The word Duratyaya is particularly used in reference to a Brahmadanda, or curse by a Brahmana. A curse by a Brahmana is very strong, therefore it is called Duratyaya, or insurmountable. As the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita, the stringent laws of nature are insurmountable. Similarly, if a curse is uttered by a Brahmana, that curse is also insurmountable. But Bhagavad Gita also says that the curse or benediction of the material world are, after all, material creations. The Chaitanya Charitamrita confirms that which is accepted in this material world to be a benediction and that which is taken to be a curse are both on the same platform because they are material. To get out of this material contamination, one should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as recommended in Bhagavad Gita 7.14. Mam eva e prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. The best path is to transcend all material curses and benedictions and take shelter of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and remain in a transcendental position. Persons who have taken shelter of Krishna are always peaceful. They are never cursed by anyone, nor do they attempt to curse anyone. That is a transcendental position. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Sakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सगगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सगगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितं सा हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुतदेवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all assembled Vaishnavas, speak something on the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. As I was thinking, Srimad Bhagavatam you have to read every day. Sometimes because of, you know, you have an opportunity to serve by speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, I get an opportunity to, you know, read Srimad Bhagavatam. So, that way, you know, some purification happens. So here we see that just Nandishwara, who is a great follower of Lord Shiva, is finished his quota of cursing. Now next verse onwards, Bhrigu, who is a Brahmana who is present, a great Brahmana in the assembly of Vaishnava, the demigods and other great administrators of the universe, he will start his quota. So if you see, in practicality, we can see in our world also, if a problem is started by some people, the people may not be there, but the problem still exists. And it continues from generation after generation. You see, some people, you know, get identified with a body or with a particular caste or for a particular place of birth or particular language. They may start the problem, but they may not be there. But still, you know, the problem continues. Like in Science of Self-Realization lecture, the speaker gives an example that a person, you know, traveling in a busy Bombay train, get into an argument of who is going to sit. There's one place that got vacated, and they're both the people who are fighting. And the station came, and the both people got down, and still fighting, but the seat is already gone. So, like that, the problem may be existing. And so the original problem was between Daksha and Lord Shiva. So Daksha left the arena, and Lord Shiva is silent, he didn't speak anything. But then Nandishwara cursed the Daksha, and also he cursed the Brahmanas who supported Daksha, and in general he cursed the Brahmanas. So like six curses, he gave a lot of curses in the previous verses. And now Bhrigu Muni, who was present in the assembly, he is, as a reaction to the curse of Nandishwara, he will start cursing. Even though the arena or the assembly is meant for the pacification of earth, to bring good in earth, the material atmosphere is such that this atmosphere is surcharged with anger that you can see even a great personality like Daksha or Nandishwara or Bhrigu, they get agitated by this material energy. So here we see in the purport, Prabhupada writes, the curse of a Brahmana is very strong and it's called duratyaya or insurmountable. So similarly, there is one curse in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The curse of a Brahmana boy, Sringi. So if you see, sometimes the curse is as a blessing. The blessing is coming in disguise, you know, it comes to the devotee, the pure devotees of the Lord, as a blessing. So in this case, you can see Lord Shiva, the curse of Daksha was that this sacrifice will be, the whatever result we're getting will be shared among the demigods except Lord Shiva. So this is the curse of Daksha. But in fact, it's actually a blessing, because Shiva is not, you know, he's a great Vaishnava. He's not a materialistic person like a demigods. who is after this materialistic enjoyment and result. But Shiva, so in that way, Shiva does not come under the category of demigods, does not partake in the result of whatever oblation, whatever sacrifice giving, whatever reaction getting, Shiva will not get. So this is a blessing. So similarly, so Maharaj Parikshit was a great king, is ruling the whole empire, you know, he is a great personality. He was absorbed in these material affairs, and the Supreme Lord, you know, created a circumstances and situation where he will be taken out of that situation, that is where he is ruling the whole world, and dedicate his life in pure devotional service by hearing. And it is also a prelude where the Srimad Bhagavatam can be spoken. So Krishna used Arjuna, who is the grandfather of Maharaj Parikshit, for as a prelude to speak Bhagavad Gita in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Similarly, Krishna used Parikshit Maharaj, who is coming in the same lineage, to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, the sage and the Parikshit Maharaj are the great transcendentalists. The sage Samyuksha Rishi, he was a great transcendentalist. He is not an ordinary person. He is beyond the modes of material nature. Similarly, Parikshit Maharaj is also a transcendentalist, coming as a pure devotee following Bhakti Yoga. Where the sage following a mystic yogi, he is also a transcendentalist. So both are not affected by any bodily thing, and they are not affected by any reaction of the curse or so-called. So they are, both are, you know, as good as the great devotees of the Lord, but the situation and the will of the Lord we can see in this pastime. So we can, you know, I was reading the both Brahmana curse, or the curse of Daksha and Samyuksha Rishi, Shringi, they both are, you know, so similar each other. So we'll see, you know. So first, the Brahmana boy, we've been heard from Bhagavad Gita that the four varnas and ashram is created by Krishna himself so that people can develop God consciousness. So the Brahmana means it's not by birth, it's by one's own activity and by quality. That's how you determine a person, a Brahmana, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, a Sudra. So, Shringi, you know, was a Brahman boy. He had a good chance of developing the quality of a Brahmana. So, like Prabhupada writes, like if a person is a son, you know, doctor's son or any profession son, he had a good chance of becoming a doctor. But of course, he has to develop the quality of that profession. Then only he can be a doctor. But he had a good chance. So similarly, but the boy, he actually misused the opportunity, the great opportunity. A Brahmana means he is the head of the brain of the society. He has to lead everyone. You know, he has to give the vision. He is the spearhead. You know, he has to give guidance to other three varnas of the varnashram ashram. But if he misused the opportunity, so that's where the problem started. So similarly, Daksha, He thought that the whole demigod reputation has been spoiled by this unmannerly behavior of Lord Shiva. He was thinking that our reputation has been spoiled because this person who don't know how to give respect or sweet word to me. Because he, you know, the problem for Daksha is, he is thinking that Lord Shiva is subordinate to him just because he has given his daughter in marriage to Lord Shiva. Because he is expecting that kind of result from a person, thinking in a material designation that Lord Shiva is subordinate and lower to myself. In a way it's right, but in a big picture, that Shiva is above this universe, where Daksha is just within this universe. So then, the second. So the Shringi, then because of puffed up, he compared Parikshit Maharaj to a watchdog or crows. which is a heavy actually, because he thought that the Brahmana is higher to Kshatriya, and a Kshatriya's activity or the duty is to give protection to the state and the citizens of the state is like a dog. And how can a dog can enter the home and eat in the same plate with the master? That itself wrong. He should not enter the hut of my father. Because the sage was in trance, he was in meditation, and he was in the hut, and Parikshit Maharaj was in the forest. He was feeling thirsty and hunger. Actually, a pure devotee is beyond the bodily demands. So Prabhupada write in that purport that, you know, because a pure devotee, that he doesn't have hunger or thirst, but because of the plan of Supreme Lord, he was put into that condition. So that's why he entered the hut. So Sringi, because of his puffed up nature, thinking that how can he enter the hut, that is of a big mistake. On top of that, he has put the snake on my father. So how can a dog enter the house and eat in the same plate as my father? So he compared like that. Similarly, Daksha comparing Shiva, the one with as a monkey eyes. He's comparing Shiva as one who has a monkey eye and my daughter who has the eyes of a deer cub, and I have given my daughter to Lord Shiva. So, you know, this is the comparison is there. There was a lecture actually by Gaurang Prabhu, you know, he says the cancer of mind, the three cancer of mind is, you know, complain, compare and criticize. If you see the episode of Daksha, this is in proper order. First he complained among the assembly about the activities and unmannerly behavior of Lord Shiva, and then he compared Lord Shiva's eyes to monkey and, you know, eyes of Sati as a deer cub, and then he finally criticized Lord Shiva. So this is a disease of our mind, that we want, first we complain and then we compare and then we criticize. So in that, both Sringi and Daksha was comparing. And the Sringi having a false prestige that he is a higher class, that, you know, he is a Brahmana. That is a downfall. Actually, Prabhupada write that because that is, you know, we can see how the degradation of Brahmana caste start from Sringi. Similarly, Shiva, Daksha also was in assumption. He was assuming that Shiva is subordinate to me. He is my brother-in-law. He has to give respect to me. He has to receive me properly. Father-in-law. So, but then you have to understand, Shiva is above this universe. And then Sringi, then he was showing his impudence to among his playmates. So Sringi, when he was cursing, he was with his friends. The friends doesn't know anything. To show up, to, you know, puffed up, and then he shows his, you know, like a Brahmanical strength, he is cursing to show among his friends. Such a small kid. They all were innocent. They don't know. Because if at least some degree, some person would have been there, they would have stopped him by acting like this. Because he was among his friends and he wanted to show up his power, he was cursing. So similarly, Daksha, in great anger, thinking he is greater than everyone. Daksha means expert. And thinking that he is expert in argument and no one can defeat him, he has left the arena in spite of Brahma and all other, you know, people who are assembled in the arena requested him not to go and pleaded. So, in fact, what Daksha initially was angry became a victim of that same situation of unmannerly behavior. What Daksha was thinking that Shiva was doing because of unmannerly behavior, now he himself showing that unmannerly behavior, even though Brahma, who is the father, who is the leader of all demigods, requested him not to go. So this we see. What we see fault in others, Maya uses the same strength, what we think is a strength to overcome Maya, we'll use that as we'll become a victim of that same strength or power or position. And he is... So, and the last, which is biggest thing, both in Sringi and Daksha, the Sringi, he is thinking that the Lord Krishna has departed, and this, you know, he thinks himself as the Supreme Lord. Now I have to take the role of correcting this person, this upstart. This Parikshit Maharaj is showing a principle of an upstart, and I am here who have to take the dharma in hand and curse. So Prabhupada, right, this is the start of people, you know, claiming themselves as God. He thinks as if him, you know, the power. He has a little power and he wants to become an incarnation of the Lord. That Sringi thinking is, you know, I am the Supreme Lord and I have to correct this dharma. I have to re-establish this religious principle and I have to curse this person who is showing inaccurate quality or a principle. So he is thinking himself to be an incarnation of the Lord, which is the highest, snare of Maya. The last snare of Maya is that one thinks that he is God. So we can see in Sringi. Similarly, Daksha, he was carrying this envy of against Shiva, because he doesn't want, in first place, he doesn't want to give his daughter to Lord Shiva. He didn't like Shiva. Because Lord Brahma requested, he handed over his daughter to Shiva. Now, he is addressing Brahma himself as Prajapati, as Parameshti, because he doesn't want to call him as the Brahma or Lord, he doesn't want to accept him as a father. He started blaspheming Brahma himself. He has escalated this and started criticizing his own father and left the arena, which is the greatest offense. That's what happens. As he is saying that Brahma, I don't want to give this daughter to Shiva. And Shiva, Brahma told to give, even he has less intelligence. He is saying, Brahma, you having less intelligence. How can you ask me to give the daughter to Shiva? He himself don't know. So if you see, Brahma is a person, his full body is made out of intelligence only. And here is a person who is saying to Brahma that you have less intelligence, you don't know, whom to give my daughter. Because of you, I gave. Now you see what she is doing. Like that, and he walked away. So you see in the case of Sringi and in case of Daksha, how, actually it cascaded. And it made a big, big offenses. But... The outcome is that Lord Shiva was completely unaffected by this whole situation. Because each and every curse of Daksha was manipulated by Saraswati into a blessing, into a glorification of Shiva. Similarly, the case of Sringi, the Maharaj Parikshit is a great devotee, is a pure devotee. As soon as he did that activity of placing the dead snake in the shoulder of Shamika Rishi, he felt something bad. He thought, he repented. He thought this is not good. Maybe, you know, he was in fact praying that he should lose all his wealth, all his kingdom in the fire of the anger of the Brahmana. He was almost ready to receive anything. So then when he received the news that this boy cursed, then he happily accepted. So we can see from the last few lines of Prabhupada that person who have taken shelter of Krishna are always peaceful. They are never cursed by anyone and nor do they attempt to curse anyone. So that peaceful was which Maharaj Parikshit showing in his personal example. So this is, if you see in the previous verse or this verse, now we see the Brahmana curse. If we, from Bhagavad Gita and from Srimad Bhagavatam, see first from Bhagavad Gita, the qualities of Brahmana: peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which Brahmana work. And the symptoms of Brahmana, which is in 7th canto, the symptoms of a Brahmana are control of the mind, control of the senses, austerity, penance, cleanliness, satisfaction, forgiveness and simplicity. So, knowledge, mercy, truthfulness, complete surrender to Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, these are the symptoms of a Brahmana. The Brahmana is not by birth. Even Shudra or any Varna is not by birth. We can see this was a great struggle for, you know, if you see the previous Acharyas or in fact Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even in the previous verse we can see he was meeting Ramananda Rai or the six Goswamis or Haridas Thakur. They considered themselves a Shudra. For example, Mahaprabhu meeting Rupan Sanatan in Ramkeli, they considered themselves lower than a materialistic person. And they considered themselves as a Malacha, even though they were born in a high class Brahmanical family. They considered even worse than Malacha because they are serving the person who is a Malacha, who is after meat and money. So they consider even more fallen. But Mahaprabhu embraced him. Similarly, when Mahaprabhu went to South India, he was traveling to South India, and on the request of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he wanted to meet Ramananda Rai. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was a great Mayavad scholar. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became a great Vaishnava. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya used to, before he met Ramananda Rai, he couldn't understand the activities of Ramananda Rai because he was not a devotee. Then once he got the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he understood the great personality Ramananda Rai, and then he requested Mahaprabhu, when you go to South India, please meet this person. So Mahaprabhu, then when he went go to South India, finally he got, you know, like kind of a permission or agreement with all of his associates who didn't allow him. Then he went to meet Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya to get blessings. So Mahaprabhu here, you know, getting the blessings of Bhattacharya, who is a household and who is a compared to, you know, is sannyasi getting the blessing of household, he is showing a great example that if a person is perfectly situated in a spiritual order, then even a sannyasi can get blessing from a grihastha. Similarly, when Mahaprabhu, you know, going to South India, this is in the purport, you know, it says that Mahaprabhu did not reveal his spiritual potency in Navadvip because of Smartha Brahmanas. were not, you know, the environment was not favorable. This, but Mahaprabhu, when he got to South India, the situation and environment favorable, then he revealed himself. So Prabhupada write, a preacher are encouraged when there is a favorable situation. So, but then, okay, fine, then when Mahaprabhu went to South India meeting Ramananda Rai, he saw Godavari, he thought it's Yamuna, and you know the forest around us was Vrindavan. You should understand, Mahaprabhu is always in ecstasy, always chanting and dancing and traveling to South India. His ecstasy in such that anyone in come contact with or saw Mahaprabhu, that is his preaching. But just seeing, they become, you know, great devotee. So then he was waiting, and then Ramananda Rai was coming in a palanquin with all brahmanas, and he was in a great position, designation. So he came and he also wants to take bath. Then Mahaprabhu waited. Mahaprabhu, seeing Ramananda Rai, understood that he is the person, he is Ramananda Rai. I came to meet him. So when he went and took bath and came, Ramananda Rai and Mahaprabhu meeting, they embraced each other. Mahaprabhu embraced. Ramananda Rai said, "See, don't touch me. I'm from a Sudra family. I'm not, you know, don't touch me." You know, he was quoting from, you know, Vedas and telling reason, you know, you should not even touch me, you should not even, you know, you are embracing. So Mahaprabhu, also a great, you know, a devotee, is showing in the mood of a great devotee, he's saying, you know, I am a Mayavad sannyasi. You should not touch me as well. They both are, you know, when great humility, they discuss and they embracing, and they both are in ecstasy. Mahaprabhu is like that gold. Gold is really beautiful. If you see gold, yeah. Mahaprabhu is a molten gold, that is, you know, melting. Gold is melting, and he is wrapped in a saffron cloth. This is Mahaprabhu, you know, feature. And the ornaments of Mahaprabhu are his ecstasies. The ecstasies are the ornaments in the body of Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu is embracing Ramananda Rai, and both are in ecstasy. The brahmanas who are surrounding, they are thinking, what happened to Ramananda Rai? He just met this sannyasi, and he is also, you know, showing ecstasy, and you know, tears are coming from his eyes. What happened to Ramananda Rai? And what happened to this sannyasi? You know, embracing each other. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the external situation is going little bit wild. Then he controlled himself. Okay, you know, he restricted himself. So the point is, you know, the great acharyas, even though they are very qualified and highly a great Vaishnava, but they consider themselves as a Sudra or a lower material designation. And in fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made Haridas Thakur as a Namacharya, even though he was born in a Muslim family, which is low in terms of Vedic culture and civilization. So it is, and in fact, if you see Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, he has spent a great amount, even Bhakti Vinod Thakur, all the acharyas spent a great amount of time to make us understand that not brahmanas by birth. They want to make this point that if a person become a Vaishnava, he is already a brahmana. Vaishnava is greater than a brahmana. In Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, he used to have this parikram in Vrindavan. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada, when he was Lucknow, he didn't have chance to attend the whole parikrama. He went for only one day. So Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, he used to have his disciples and, you know, people from all walks of life made into a brahmana and, you know, even sannyasi. So he used to go to these temples in Vrindavan. Smart, you know, the caste Goswamis. They used to go. So because Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj bringing this, all these people from different background, they used to close the darshan of deities. And they used to not allow to see the devotees who are coming in the parikram, the deities darshan. They think these people are malechar and yavanas, and they are not qualified to see Krishna. And not only that, when they are going in parikram, the people used to throw stone at them. Imagine, you know, if we are going to all this Goswami's temple and in Vrindavan, so many temple, and they are not allowing us to see any darshan and throwing stone at us. We don't feel any, you know, kind of pressure or, you know, insecurity or fear or anything. And we take it for granted. But this is a situation. After, you know, talking about, you know, 1930s and, you know, 50s, where they didn't even allow devotees to see darshan of deities, and they think they are from lower caste or lower order. So, and even Srila Prabhupada was criticized heavily for this, that, you know, Western people are becoming brahmanas, or, you know, they're taking, you know, role of a pujari, or they were upset. But to establish that, you know, the brahmana is not by birth, is by the quality and by work, by the nature of work one is doing. In fact, so Mahaprabhu was meeting Ramananda Rai. So Mahaprabhu asked this question: what is the ultimate goal of life? Mahaprabhu asked a lot of questions. So first question he asked is, what is the ultimate goal of life? So Ramananda Rai said that the ultimate goal of life is that one is proper execution of prescribed duty in the system of varna and ashrama. Then, you know, Mahaprabhu said, no, you know, you tell more. This is not the one, tell more. Then he said, okay, all the result of one who is doing an occupational duty should be offered to Krishna. Whatever result, we should be offered to Krishna. Then Mahaprabhu said, no, go further, you know, tell, you know, more. Then he said, actually one should abandon all occupational duties of Varnashram Dharma and just surrender to Krishna. Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Saranam Vraja. So he quoted that verse, saying that one should give up all the activities of one Dharma and just surrender to Krishna. Then Mahaprabhu said, no, actually, you know, go more. You know, you can go more. Then Ramananda Rai said, actually the thing is, you have to do pure devotional service without any tinge of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection. And Mahaprabhu said, yeah, this is okay, but, you know, more. Then he said, oh, it has to be pure devotional service with love, and it's not by pious activities or anything, but if you have intense greed to serve Krishna, then that person is, you know, perfected his life, and that what you have to purchase if someone is selling. And Mahamananda Rai said, and Mahaprabhu said, yes, but you can even go further, tell more. Then Ramananda Rai said, this is a pure devotional service, one has to be an eternal servant of Krishna and serve Krishna in the mood of a servant, as a dasya, rasa. Then Mahaprabhu said, no, further. Then Ramananda Rai said that you have to serve pure devotional service in the mood of fraternity, that a friend, like the gopas. Then he quotes a verse of from Srimad Bhagavatam, that these people who have accumulated the tremendous amount of pious, who is actually playing with Krishna, they are in higher rasa compared to dasya. Then Mahaprabhu also said more. Then he said about Vatsalya Ras. There, you know, he tell the position of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Much fortunate position. Even goddess of fortune cannot have that, what Mother Yashoda is doing. He said more. Then he said that the conjugal love, that you are serving Krishna in the mood of conjugal love, is the most perfection. And then Mahaprabhu, you know, accepted that, and he said, yes, that is that. So Mahaprabhu teaching that one may be a brahmana, or you know, a sudra, or a vaishya, or any varna, or any ashram, we have to be as a servant and the servant of servant in the mood of gopis. That is the ultimate perfection of one's life. So one can be in any position or any background, or one can be, you know, a brahmana by birth, There may be good chance or not, a Sudra, doesn't matter, because this all under material designation. One should surrender to Krishna and then serve Krishna in the mood of gopis as servant of the servant of the servant. Then that is the perfection of life. So I'll just stop here and see if anyone has correction, comments or questions. Yeah.
When Daksha cursed Shiva, yeah, how was it a blessing for Shiva?
Because Daksha curse is that, like whatever oblation, whatever sacrifice we're doing, whatever result, he will not get a share. So basically that, you know, it is said, you know, Daksha was a Prajapati. He wants to increase the population. He's attached to, he identified with his body and a material and an extended family. And the sacrifice is for the well-good of the earth and pacification, and all the demigods were there. So whatever, you know, result, then you have to burn that result. If you have to get some pious, if you do some pious activity, then you have to enjoy. If you do some bad activity, you have to suffer. So if you take part in a pious activity, then you have to come back again to enjoy. Right? So similarly, if that, you know, share has been given to Shiva, even though he is not affected by that, but it's good he didn't participate in that. So you don't have to enjoy. The demigods are... even the Vishnu was not happy with, you know, when the demigods prayed in Samudra Manthan, when the demigods all assembled and saw Lord Vishnu, they were asking for their position. Even though they seeing the Lord, you know, face to face, they could have asked liberation or, you know, pure devotional service. So the Vishnu was little, you know, upset, because even though I am there and they are asking me, you know, the position, so they could have asked more. So similarly, you know, that's a blessing in disguise, because Daksha, you know, actually didn't consider Shiva as a demigod. Yes, Shiva is not a demigod. He was not even Jiva Tattva. He is, you know, above. He is not Vishnu Tattva. He is not Shiva Tattva. He is Shiva Tattva. And in fact, he is a great Vaishnava. He has his own sampradaya. Right?